If you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4. On the Anderson members page, I've been posting studies from the book of 1 John. And today I thought it would be appropriate for us to look together in our study time together this morning on the Lord's Day, to look at chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read the text first, and then we'll go back and look at the text a little bit closer. We'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Now, at first reading of that particular text, there are lots of things, I'm sure, that comes up in your mind as to what John is talking about. So, Lord willing, we're going to look at this text a little bit closer. And I hope that after we leave today that you'll be a little bit more encouraged about what this text is teaching. And as we continue in our video series to study this great epistle, I hope that it will be encouraging to you. John in this text basically is saying, do not believe every spirit. And I'm going to insert the idea that what John is talking about here is do not believe every teacher. John the Apostle, he is an apostle of love. He's very positive and he's very encouraging in this epistle. Yet John, in this section, he deals with the negative also. There are a lot of teachers in this world. And especially with the things that have been going on now, the internet is full of people teaching something. Some teach that you should believe in the name of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, but many teach something completely different. In John, John discusses the idea of Christ versus the Antichrist. He talks about the Spirit of God versus other spirits. And it's certainly important for us to think seriously about that, that there's two voices that are apparent in the world today. There is the Spirit of God, and then there is the spirit of this world. John also discusses in his epistle about loving one another versus not loving the world. He also discusses that there are many things to believe, and there are things not to believe. So you have a positive and you have a negative. You have a contrast throughout the book of 1 John that's important for us to understand. Don't believe every teacher that comes along, because there are teachers who teach not from the Spirit of Christ, but from the spirit of Satan. We need to understand that there are false teachers out there. That's why John says in verse 1 to test the spirits. It's important for us to understand that that word test means simply to prove or to see if it's genuine or not. I've used this illustration before, and maybe some of you remember in watching some of the old westerns, and if someone handed them a supposedly gold coin, you remember what they would do with that coin? They would take that coin and stick it in their teeth and they would bite on it. What were they doing? They were testing to see if it was real. Well, we're supposed to test any teaching, all teaching. You test it, you examine it, to see if the teaching is from God, to see if it's the truth. So many today are really opposed to controversy, to disagreement. Now, let me just add this. I'm not a fan of controversy, and I'm not a fan of disagreement. God wants us to be united. God wants us to be at peace. But isn't it interesting that the apostle of love talks about testing and examining teachers, and that in and of itself suggests that there will be controversy and there will be disagreement. So when one speaks, when one teaches that everyone is right, nobody is wrong, then we've got a problem. And as a general rule, this is the philosophy that we hear in our religious world today. A number of you are old enough to remember back in the days when there were lots of debates. That is not true anymore. The basic religious world, or the religious world today that we live in, people are not interested in debating. They're not interested in trying to find out what's right and what's wrong. They've taken more of an ecumenical movement idea, and that is that everybody's okay. You believe what you want to believe, I'll believe what I want to believe, we're all going to the same place, what difference does it make? So many have concluded it really doesn't matter what you teach or what you practice. John says that's not true. Certainly so many today refuse to do what John said. Test the spirits to see whether they are of God. There are so many folks that are united together or have fellowship with false teaching and practice, and yet unwilling to test to make sure it's right. Now, John is not telling us something we don't know or that we haven't recognized. How many of you have tried to talk to your neighbor? How many of you tried to talk to one of your relatives? How many of you tried to talk to someone at work or at school? And they seem to be so reluctant to do that because they know that there's going to be some kind of argument or some kind of debate or some kind of discussion, and you're setting them up, as they would view it, you're setting them up to show that they're wrong. And they're just not willing to admit or to say, I'm wrong about anything. And if they do admit they're wrong, they're going to say it doesn't matter. That's the world we live in today, religiously. I'd like us to understand that what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, and I think most of us are quite familiar with this text. Jesus said, Matthew 18, verses 8 and 9, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men." How would you know if someone was teaching the truth? How would you know if someone was teaching the precepts of men? Does it make a difference? Does it even really matter? John, the apostle of love, says it does matter, and to test the spirits. As we continue to look at this passage, I want you to notice in verse 2, John teaches us how to identify a false teacher. A teacher of truth. One who teaches by the one Spirit that Paul talks about in Ephesians 4 and in verse 4. One who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now that might seem like a very simple kind of statement, and it is a simple statement, but it's a very powerful statement of truth. Because he goes on to talk about in verse 2 that a teacher of error, or one that teaches false teaching, denies that Jesus came in the flesh. Now surely, that is not that big a deal. Surely, whether or not Jesus came in the flesh or didn't come in the flesh, why should we divide about that? Why should we argue about that? Well, because there is a truth and then there is an error. The truth is Jesus became flesh. Maybe you've not noticed that specific verbiage back in the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and in verse 14. You've probably read over that text many, many times, maybe never caught the idea of the specific comment that John makes. John says in John 1 and verse 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Read it one more time. Did you notice? "And the Word became flesh." Did you notice that? Well, what is the significance of that? Well, we've talked a lot in regards to the gospel or the epistle of John that John is dealing with Gnosticism or the Gnostics, the ones that claim that they had a superior knowledge and that the rest of us are inferior in our knowledge. We're not really elite in religious matters because we don't have their understanding. But what they were teaching was is that God the Son entered a fleshly man. And at Jesus' baptism, that God the Son entered Jesus. Prior to His crucifixion, the Son of God left the man Jesus. Well, the Gnostics taught basically this, that Jesus was the flesh part and Christ was the spirit part. So therefore they taught and denied that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Again, we might look at that and say, well, that seems to be so twiddly-dee, twiddly-dumb. But John the Apostle says that is a matter of truth and error. It is a matter of life and death. John says this is the teaching of the Antichrist. Anti, against, not for, speaking against Christ. We've discussed that already. The test of a teacher is not about, is he a great person? The test of a teacher is not, is he charming? Is he charismatic? The test of a teacher is not that you've known him all your life and he's been a friend of the family for as long as you can remember. That's not the test of a teacher. The test of a teacher is the content of what he teaches. John does not discuss any of the personal characteristics of an Antichrist. He simply emphasizes what is taught, the content. And may I suggest, brother and sister in Christ, that you always concern yourself about the content of what is being taught. In verse 4, John talks about verses 4, 5, and 6, I want you to notice this. Verse 4, "You are from God." Verse 5, "They are from the world." Verse 6, "We are from God." I want to talk to you a little bit about you, they, and we, as John does. I think "you" is definitely talking about Christians, and he addresses them as little children in this epistle. The "they" of verse 5 are the Antichrist, the false teachers that teach error. "We," I believe in this context, is the apostles. John speaks to these little children who are Christians, and he says, "You are from God." They had overcome them, the Antichrist, the false teachers. It would be good if I could take the time, I won't today, but just to refresh your memory a little bit about how this word overcome is used in 1 John. Go back to chapter 2 in verses 13 and 14, and I'll just briefly read a couple of passages here for you to think more seriously about on your own. But when John talks about that the little children had overcome the Antichrist, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, we studied that a while back, and it says, I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him. Notice how many times he says no. Remember back in verse 3, he says, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. How do you know what the commandments are? How do you know what's not a commandment? You have to read and study God's word. You have to know the truth. Verse 14, I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. Go to chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 briefly. Chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Maybe you've never noticed the verbiage of that. He didn't say, he who believes Christ is the Son of God. Who did he say is the Son of God? Jesus is the Son of God. Who is Jesus? The Gnostics said he was just a man. That the Son of God came into Jesus. John says you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. When you believe that and you have faith in that, you overcome them, the Antichrist. And that's what John is commending these little children for. He says, greater is God than the Antichrist. When we say Antichrist, we're talking about men who taught error. But who were these men from? What spirit were they? They were the spirit of the devil. They were the spirit of Satan himself. Greater is the spirit of truth versus the spirit of these false prophets. God is of truth. Satan is of lies. In verse 5, they, these false teachers, these antichrists, are from the world. And the world listens to them. Remember back in chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17? Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. Most usually we will read those three verses and we will make application to what? Drinking, adultery. And yes, that is a part of the world. I don't know that John has that in mind. In this epistle, he's talking about these antichrists. He's talking about do not love what the world is producing. And that is this false teaching about the Christ. In verse 6, he says we. There's the apostles. He says we are from God. You go back to chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and there again, I remind you the fact that what was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld with our hands, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. We, the apostles, are from God, the one who knows God, listens to us. The one who knows God. We've been discussing this throughout the Epistle of John. Who knows God? The one that keeps His commandments. The one that walks in the light. Would then the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice? Remember Jesus talking about that? When the shepherd speaks, the sheep recognize their shepherd and they follow. Now, as we try to speak the shepherd's language, do the sheep hear? Do they listen? If you are not from God, you don't read and study God's Word. You read and study and follow after men and their teaching. The contrast is, you're of God if you listen to the apostles and their writings. If you're not of God, you listen to the world, the antichrists. This emphasis of does not listen. I've not always been a good listener, my wife says. She tells me things from time to time, and later on it comes back up and she mentions that she told me something, and I say usually, you didn't tell me that. And she usually responds, yes I did, but you weren't listening. I'm sure you other men don't have that problem. My guess is that we all have the problem from time to time of not listening. You know what's really frustrating? Is when we try to teach others and they just will not listen. Why? We're not speaking their language. We don't speak like the world. Someone may say to you in response of you trying to teach them, well, I don't care what the Bible says, I just feel it in my heart. You ever heard someone say that? You can read a passage of Scripture to some people and they just don't listen. You can read Mark 16:16 to some people every day, 100 times a day, and their response would be the same. I don't believe that's true. What's the problem? The world does not hear God's language. That's what John is saying in this text. Did you know God's Word does not attract the world? Here's something that if you're a teacher of Christ, you need to grasp this point. When you try to talk to someone about the gospel and they don't listen, they don't care, they're not interested, what do you immediately know? They're worldly. They do not want to hear God's Word. God's Word does not attract the world, rather it converts the world. This is how you judge the spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. Yes, I use the word judge. Now, is that word not in the religious world today a bad word? Judge. What's the first passage that is quoted to you if you ever use the word judge? And you may not even use the word judge, but you may do what John has said to do. Test the Spirit. And what have you tested? What have you examined? What have you found out? That what is being taught is error. That it's false, it's not true. Then what does someone reply to you? Do not judge, lest you be judged. And that is a trump card to most people. They play that card, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, and that verse cancels out everything that John says. Do you believe that? I don't either. Jesus said, "Do not judge, lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you." Now, what's important about that, we'll reserve this for another time in detail, but I will say this simply. It is interesting here that Jesus isn't saying emphatically, never judge, but he says, when you judge, or the way you judge, it shall be judged, you shall be judged that way as well. So if I'm going to make a judgment about someone, what kind of judgment should I make? Well, Jesus in John 7 and verse 24 said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Many times we are too quick to pull the trigger and we haven't gathered all the information. Something can happen in someone's life and we immediately draw some conclusion about that is not necessarily true or right. We should really keep our judgment to ourselves until all the facts are known. Is that the way you want someone to judge you? They hear one little thing and then they make some big, incredible conclusion and it's negative against you and it's condemning you and they don't even know the facts? Is that the way you want to be judged? No. Then don't judge anybody else that way either. If you hear something about someone and you don't know if it's true, what's the best thing to do? First of all, keep your mouth shut. Number two, go to that person and ask them. But when we judge before we have all the information, that's when we sin. That is not what John is talking about. John is saying test to see if genuine. Examine it. Look at it. Look at it truthfully based upon God's Word. Now what people usually do not do is read down to verse 6 of Matthew 7. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and they turn and tear you to pieces. How in the world do you determine if someone is a dog or a pig? How do you do that? Well, I might just hear a little bit of information about someone and determine they're a dog or they're a pig. That is not what Jesus is saying. In fact, he is saying, you be careful before you call someone a dog, before you call someone a pig, and you make sure that you've done your homework. Jesus did not contradict what John said. Rather, they go together. The point being, test the spirits. Are you willing to do that? What you're hearing, what you're listening to, what you have obeyed, what you are practicing, is it from the Spirit of God? Or is it the Antichrist? How would you know? There are so many teachers in this world. Are they all correct? Could they all be wrong? How would you know? There are so many churches. Are they all correct? How would you know? Test the spirits. Thank you for listening this morning. If you've been studying along and with us in the epistle of 1 John, I think it's been a great study that he's taught us a lot of things. But one of the prevailing things that he has taught us is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I hope that this morning you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In 1 John chapter 5, we read a moment ago, verses 4 and 5, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" I remember that Jesus himself said in John 8, "Unless you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. There are a lot of people that don't really believe Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe in His miracles. They don't believe in His teaching. They take just a little bitty small piece of Jesus, but really do not believe Him. What do you believe today? Have you tested it? Have you examined it? Are you genuine? This morning, if you would like to obey the gospel, there's water in the baptistry. There are clothes in there for you. You can obey Jesus Christ even today. Have your sins washed away. If there's any one of you that need the prayers of the brethren here, we'll be glad to pray with you and pray for you. And the great thing, John talked about this in chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10. If we're willing to confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a beautiful, wonderful promise that we have in Christ. Thank you for being here today. Brother Brian is going to come and lead us in an invitation song. And if you need to respond in any way, we invite you to be obedient even today.
Would you be free from your burden of sin?